What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Ghostbusters Day, baby.
God damn, is it a Ghostbusters Day right now, Andy? How stoked are you? You know what I mean? Because I look at you and you got nothing to look forward to most of the time. You know what I mean?
Marinate
on this one, all right?
Stew on it.
You got just another hellish month with me. In March, you get a new Ghostbusters movie, man. You're back on Ghostbusters in Review.
This is like, I don't know why I imagine like in Angels in the Outfield when like that dad was kind of a shitty dad, but if the Angels were in the postseason, he was going to be a good dad.
As long as I got a Ghostbusters on the horizon, I'll be nice.
Look, as long as it
God,
makes...
I was just thinking about Angels in the Outfield this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. When are you coming back? When the Angels
win the pennant. What a crazy thing to say.
Like, kid, I wasn't giving a fuck. Why the Angels didn't help him? They knew that what guy wasn't going to come back.
I'm happy that it boosts your mood. But otherwise...
I haven't had a lot going right for me lately.
But otherwise, I'm just like... I'm just shocked that they're still doing these. Like, I don't... I
watch this trailer, because this puts that to bed. I get it. I mentioned it on the Reacts today. If I'm lying, I'm dying with Nick. Of like, I can understand why people have said, you watch this one, you're like, there's another seven movies at least in the franchise. You kidding me? This is going to be a great time? They got a bunch of researchers under the firehouse now? They got all new Ghostbusters in jumpsuits and patches down there.
Andy,
they got ghosts in cages. They're doing experiments on Andy. You're telling me they're not doing that in London right now? You're telling me we can't go over there and do some ghosts in London?
Why did you become Macho Man?
Macho Man.
It's just too exciting.
Yeah, I guess.
Limitless.
Greg, did you learn nothing from Batman versus Superman trailer?
Huh? Oh, I had. Huh? Don't get me wrong. When I was crafting the tweets, I thought about trying to play into that. But mark my words, there's no way this movie's bad. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, that'd be great. There's not one warning
you
sign
nothing.
In that film.
You
look at that trailer,
nothing.
There's not one red flag,
perfect,
all right?
Perfect trailer.
It's a great... We saw two of them. They just got better.
Really?
Domestic was one thing. International was another. International was better.
Those Brits don't know what's coming.
He's going to start crying.
Right before this, I got my Empire magazines from Ben Starr.
Wow.
I thought about canceling this fucking show just so I could read. You know what I mean? See what else I'm missing.
He sent them like from L.A. or what did he do?
No, from London, yeah.
Whoa.
I've been trying to find Empire magazine.
I saw these
the Ghostbusters
posts.
Cover story.
And that's
you think that's
just
easy.
Print media.
But I'm going into Safeways. I'm going into CVS's. I'm going anywhere I know there's a newsstand, which there aren't many.
Mm-mm.
No sign. Walked into a Barnes & Noble. Walked around the entire fucking place. Had to come to the clerk. I'm like, do you guys sell magazines? He's like, oh, not in this location anymore. I'm like, all right.
Well, you know what I mean? When I was quoted in the New York Times... Finding New York Times, way more difficult than you'd expect. Like, and you'd think New York Times, I can go anywhere and get that thing. That's not the case. Not the case at all.
Newsstands don't.
Where the fuck's a newsstand?
You'd be like, how about you drop your nobility because you're just a barn. What you should have told them. A book
good.
Barn.
Yeah, took me a second.
Nobility.
No, when me and Jen were in the Wall Street Journal for Being in Love and Liking Wings, the only reason we have a copy is because Big Kev Dog found one. I did the same thing. I went to the corner store. I was like, the Wall Street Journal is like, we haven't sold newspapers in like 5 years. I was like, Went to a Starbucks, they had nothing.
I used to love motor news, like the magazine stands, though.
I want to pin in that one. And well, actually, pin in that one, bring it right back out and put it back into it. Did you ever go to the Los Angeles newsstands? Because, like, New York, you know what I mean? And granted, I'm basing this off of the hit film Ghostbusters, where they had a big newsstand.
Sure.
There's lots of newsstands there. But in L.A., I've definitely driven past that one next to, like, the fruit stand that has, like, all the magazines there.
Those things are real?
I don't think there's many. That's why I think it's iconic in LA.
The only one I remember, yes. I mean, I remember them. I think I've been to one or two of them occasionally because we used to go to the El Capitan Theater and
there was
like an Italian restaurant right around the corner. And that had one of those newsstands that was like, you know, half a block.
Old Don Fazoli's.
What's that?
Don Fazoli's. Free breadsticks. But newsstands are like a real, those were.
Yeah, those are very real. They're still a thing in New York.
Huh?
They're still a thing in New York.
Are they?
Yeah.
I'm not, last time
you walk by and there's a guy in there, so, hey, papers, magazines.
They still got that stuff going on.
I was like,
sure.
That's one of those things I'm
pretty
just like,
sure.
Is this a movie thing only?
I did not see any last time I was in New York, but I'm sure there are some. I mean, they have like the.
Colin Roger.
The kiosks. Not kiosks, but like, you know, the standalone sort of like structures that sell stuff, and there are newspapers and stuff there, but.
Charlie Bucket walks up. He's like, there's still one more golden ticket, Grandpa Joe.
New York definitely still has them, but the people that are standing there, like, it's next to the hot dog stands.
They got the newspaper. Oh,
And like, but like, are you talking about just a pile of newspapers? They're selling like paperboy, no, or like a,
there's a whole bunch,
there's like a guy in there.
Yeah, whole bunch of stuff looking like a little.
And he's like, "Hey, you can't. Hey, no reading for free." You know, that sort of.
That's from 2018, though.
This is LA, though.
Okay,
that's pre-pandemic. Paper had a big issue once we hit the pandemic.
Yeah, that's, yeah, these are the ones
that, that was the first thing. Oh, remember toilet paper? How hard it was again?
But they use all the magazines for toilet paper.
Yeah, that's what
there
happened.
Are like two or three of them still in San Francisco. They're like magazine shops.
Wow. Well, where were you when I needed that information? I got Ben Starr over there.
I was here this morning. I can go afterward if you want. There's one on Polk
Street. Nah. Mike Drucker, you're the most New Yorker we know. Do newsstands still exist in New York? Tim just spit water all over himself. Do newsstands still exist in New York? Like, oh, you go over there and you get a coffee, you get a crunch bar, but it's on the corner and they got magazines and they got
typical
fucking New York
Times. New Yorkers love
shut up, man.
Bars.
He calls back.
See, Greg, while you're out here, so
hey, I'm walking
here
with my crunch bar.
Yeah,
my favorite thing to happen in Hollywood in the last couple days is Dakota Johnson's entire press tour for
she was bad on SNL. I saw a TikTok where I was like, oh, this guy's gonna break it down, but then he just broke it down. I would have had to have watched SNL.
Was she bad? I wouldn't know. I mean, whatever, she's Dakota Johnson. Like, I personally enjoy her. I think that. Whatever.
This is Madam Web, right?
Going on. Yeah.
Someone likes Dakota Madam Johnson.
But I mean, I don't know that that's true.
Her mom
but
died.
Really? I do.
She's researching spiders.
She's 50 Shades of Grey. We're talking about the same lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fine.
And now she's Madam Web.
Good actor.
But this might be my, I told Andy this earlier, this might be my favorite thing I've ever seen. Again, this movie's not out yet. Like, this is in the promotional hype for this movie, press time. This is a headline on Variety. Dakota Johnson says it was, quote, absolutely psychotic to film Madam Web with a blue screen. Quote, I don't know if this is going to be good at all.
Yeah.
That's good. Just the headline.
Good.
Like, that's where we're at with this movie is they're like, fuck it. Like, let's just try something out of the box. Like, let's just shit on it ourselves. Like,
is this going to be the angle we're marketing for? Yeah.
I am so excited for this film. Like, Valentine's Day, this is happening. We're going. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Sony Spider-Man Universe in review. But yeah, it's
no other way I'd want to spend my birthday.
I hope that it is.
Your birthday's Valentine's?
Abysmal.
No, 2 days after.
Okay.
Yeah. Your real birthday present, Skull and Bones.
Oh.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
There's definitely not a God. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
wow. You just lost your faith.
Yeah, right then. Right then and there. What? So the thing with Madam Web, though, is.
The thing about Madam Web.
There's not going to be a real Spidey.
I'm not a
there's
real gonna
Spidey. There's going to be a. Tarantula Man or whatever.
Ezekiel. Yeah, that's his name. But don't talk shit about him. He was cool in the comics.
That's not a superhero name, though.
No.
It's a biblical name.
He was
name.
Like the first Spider-Man.
He's the god.
Oh,
Spider
Toad. The proto-spider.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's going to be
gonna ruin it, though.
He's going to be a Spidey. I saw an interview with Sydney Sweeney. She was like, my character Julie is always upside down. So I was like, I got to be upside down. And everybody on Twitter was like, damn, she knows about the comics. I'm like, okay, she saw a photo. And she said in the comic drawings, like Julie was always upside down.
You're telling me Spider-Man's upside down?
Yeah. I was like, okay. Like, no, first of all, I didn't even know who the fuck Julia is.
Spider-Woman. Julia Carter.
Spider-Woman, yeah.
So who are the other Spideys?
Another Spider-Woman.
So and Madam Spider-Woman. Web.
Three Spider-Woman and Madam Web.
Yeah, we'll see how they frame it.
Or is that just what they call her because she's, is it the seniority thing? Like, usted, like, this is like a, no, Madame Web, Senorita Web, you know?
What's the difference between Madam and Madame? Is there one?
No. Potato, potato.
Yeah, I think probably just how Americans say Madam.
Me and Lucy James went to In-N-Out last week, and...
we called her Madam.
We ordered our whatever, and she, they're like, oh, like, do you want tomatoes? I was like, yeah, and then she was like, no, tomato. And I was like, I've never heard someone actually say it, but she did.
Yeah.
She did.
There was a big discussion with that Cool Greg had. Cool Greg was like, yeah, but people don't say tomato. I was like, yeah, English people say tomato usually. That's why the only place that I've heard it.
Crazy.
Aside from that, I just thought that potato potato was just like.
Okay, madam is a polite term to address a woman, originally only used for a woman of authority. Madame is a French title of respect equivalent to Mrs. Okay.
Senorita Web. It's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be a fucking disaster.
I can't wait.
I know.
Is Silk one of these women?
No.
Okay. Good.
Silk's getting her own show on Amazon.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. See, yeah. They need
you
to
think
stop.
That, like, sex stuff is going to be part of it?
No.
Sex. Lord and Miller are related to that, though.
Oh.
I don't think the sex stuff will be because I doubt they're going to tie it so much to Peter's story.
Hold on. Wait. What is the sex stuff?
So here
is Silk is a character.
You don't know.
She's a horny Spider-Woman.
Oh, yeah. No. It's even better than that. When she gets her on Spider-Man, they both get super fucking horny and fuck.
They just can't stop.
That's awesome.
It's Peter Parker.
That's pretty cool.
Really hot. Really hot.
That's pretty cool.
The same spider bit in both. That's
so
why.
It's like.
It's based on logic.
It's Will Smith in his superhero movie.
Yeah. Hancock.
It's Hancock, yeah.
With,
when they get more
Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah.
They get together, they get weaker, but here they're
it's
I
the
guess.
Opposite of that, yeah.
Yeah, the horny powers get
they fuck on the roof sometimes, the ceiling. Here, everybody, here's a dramatic reading.
Do you want me to be you?
I'll be Silk, you be Spider-Man.
Okay.
Drained some life force away, didn't he?
Yep.
Me too. Your pheromones are still working on me.
Same here.
And you're okay with just holding hands?
Cindy, honey, it's been a really long day.
Kevin, now find the panel where they're fucking on the ceiling and they get caught.
That happened?
Cindy Sweden.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
There's a lot
oh,
of
yeah. Huh?
Who catches him?
The superior Spider-Man wife. Remember Octavius?
Maria.
Was Maria, that was her name?
Yeah.
So it was like Mary Jane or something?
No, at this point, they had already rebooted that, right? Okay. That wasn't a thing
anymore.
She
didn't exist in this world?
No, she existed, but they didn't have it. He sold his soul to Mephisto because he wanted to save Aunt May. You want to talk about a bad strategy. Aunt May's like 115. Oh, man.
I thought you meant the comic writing.
She got, she got shot by a sniper, and I'd give anything. She's going to die of a cold in 3 months, Peter. Just give it up.
Yeah.
Save your fucking life.
No, Andy.
Don't make deals with the devil.
It was. This was like, this is one of those comic moments that like almost ruined Spider-Man. Like, it was like
all the goodwill they built up from the Clone Saga went away. Here we go. See?
Oh, he's like
Anna, I can explain.
He's like
first, what does this look like? Like you're making out with a Spider-Woman on our ceiling.
Who's Anna?
She was living in. She was his roommate at the time, right?
Anna's his name. Yeah.
Is this pre or post? This is pre Superior Spider-Man.
Post Superior.
Post. They had to keep living together because they, you know, Spider-Man comics, man. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Where do we think it's gonna rank?
Can I see the spider rankings?
Here's the thing. I'm hopeful it ranks pretty high because so many of those movies are like just legit bad. There's no fun. Like the Carnage shit and like I think.
Remember when you dumbasses buried Spider-Man 2?
No.
You silenced me and the Raimis. That's what we call ourselves. Yeah.
That's an award show that happens.
We're the worldies, the Raimis, and it's not a versus. All right.
Where are you at with this, Andy? Do you think it's going to be like. I don't even know how to frame it. So bad it's good. So bad it's bad. Like, I don't even know.
I'm hoping I get there's a lot of like laugh factor in it. I don't want to be dreading sequence to sequence, being like, fucking, what a waste of time and energy. I'm hoping to laugh a lot.
I think
bad
we're gonna
things.
Laugh a lot.
Yeah.
The biggest sad part is they're not gonna be suited up. And this isn't something confirmed. I'm just saying when we watched the trailer and we got those glimpses of the suit, it was like, yeah. And then there was that moment of like, oh fuck, these are visions. These are visions of the future. They're not actually gonna be in these suits in the movie. Fuck.
I didn't even think about that.
It's Madame Web having fucking visions of what the future is going to be, not what they are now.
Here's the thing.
Sydney Sweeney will not be Spider-Woman in this movie.
You have a terrible...
Boo!
You put together a terrible multiplayer game. You play it at home online, terrible time. You play it with friends, you find fun.
Mm-hmm. Remember, and I think we're streaming Suicide Squad tomorrow.
I think if we watch this all in... If I were to watch this at home, I'd be miserable as shit. If we all watched it together, there will be moments where Kevin laughs at something and it makes me laugh.
So, basically, you're describing when we do the in-review farewell to the DCEU, we watch Aquaman, Frozen Kingdom, Lost World, Atlantis.
Yeah. My brother died Atlantis, or whatever the hell it's called.
My brother died Atlantis.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's just a good
time. That's
got to
be close. I saw an ad today that I could buy it. I could buy it. So it's got to be coming soonish, right?
Imminent, yeah.
All right, that's fun.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. See some Momoa. Get up.
I love Momoa.
Buy it on digital for $20.
See Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco Ace.
The Empire, baby. The Empire.
Frozen. It's frozen.
No, it was just I was like fingering the desk and Nick looked at me doing it and I was like, that's a weird thing to do, I guess.
I do it sometimes.
Anyways, he's Tim Geddes.
Mike, when you guys were watching the Ghostbusters trailer, Mike was also watching it in the lab and I just hear him just react. He's like, oh shit, he's frozen! And I'm like...
Yeah. You should have heard the other stuff that he was saying. First off, it looks fucking terrible. Oh my god.
He didn't say that.
Which I was saying too. It was funny.
You didn't say that.
We had a lot of good jokes about it. And then he goes,
what?
Nobody likes the 2016 version? Followed by, they got Thor in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think it looks terrible?
I didn't really watch the full thing. I'm just more of like making fun of Ghostbusters that it's like they're still trying really
Andy,
hard.
You were talking so much shit. How dare you?
Yeah, when we
now.
Cut back to us,
how
I was like,
dare
can you imagine little poor Ben Miller in school going in with a Neutrino water? Everybody's like, what
Neutrona,
the fuck?
Neutrona.
Neutrona?
Neutrona.
Shut up.
Nintendo. Yeah.
Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
Yeah, because Greg is like, oh my God, well, hopefully by that time we'll have a new trilogy and I'll be watching that with Ben. I was like, poor Ben. All these kids will be playing Fortnite and watching cool shit. And Ben's going to have his little Neutrondo on and fucking just like, everyone's going to be like, what is this?
He's already got three and he's having a great time with them. And again, as I said, after Halloween last year, I saw more Ghostbusters and they were all girls than I've ever seen in my life. So he's going to be just fine. Don't worry.
I was sitting by a hipster coffee shop. It was that one Twitter thread that was going on. It was a good one. It was a good hipster coffee shop. One of these like right wing guys who would always talk about a hipster coffee shop where somebody in the hipster coffee shop was talking about how good of a job Hillary Clinton would have been doing. This guy was just always lying about conversations in a hipster coffee shop. In a hipster coffee shop, I saw a lot of young women dressed as Ghostbusters.
Oh, I see that. Okay, now that is funny. I'm back there.
But it was the middle of August. It was very weird.
Because you're trying to hurt me, I'll hurt you then. Tim, I want you to know I went to Houston over the weekend. Wasn't impressed.
Wow.
Hot.
Ate at one restaurant, Papacito's. They had breakfast tacos.
How'd you go to Houston? Oh, was it like a layover
situation? Yeah, it was a connection in the airport. It's just not an impressive city, you know.
I had a great time in Houston one time.
Well,
I mean, the home of the Houston Rockets, trash. We all know that. Houston Texans, trash.
But isn't this one you said there'd be the Whataburger at? I wandered around this airport looking for your fancy
United
Burger. Yeah.
No, yeah.
I'm saying that photo of Papacito's. I didn't see no Whataburger.
Hmm, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you know Papacito's has a seafood equivalent. Papa Dough.
Papa Dough?
Yeah, they have like a little thing, you know, similar to... I don't know of an analog, but like having different cuisines. They have
Papacito's with the dough. Though.
The dough, it's D-E-A-U-X. It's like a Cajun kind of like seafood place.
Oh, okay.
Papa Dough.
All right, Kevin's showing me the terminal here. I believe. I walked to the E gates, Kevin. How close to the E gates am I? Okay, so I land. All right, here's the problem. See, I landed in the C gates and I walked to the E gates.
You walk by it. There's a little Chick-fil-A nearby as well.
Yeah. See, I went this way, so I never.
Yeah,
I should have gone.
Went the wrong way.
I would have had to go left instead. Yeah, I went right and went over there. Yeah, that'll
get
happen.
There. Tell them extra toasted.
Also, it was. I was expecting. I mean, it was a weird one because I was running. You know, I left Tampa Bay right at like.
Just say it like
Tampa Bay. I left Tampa. My flight was 7 o'clock Eastern, so I was up 4:30 Eastern. Right. Yeah. After going to bed at 1:30 Eastern, and so then I land in Texas.
This
right?
is fourth show today.
Like, I land in Texas, and it's you know
Eastern
8:30, and I sent you the Whataburger photo, and I had noticed when I was in the bathroom
take a nap
at like 4:30 in the morning. Right. I noticed that you had said something on Twitter, and I was like, damn, Andy shouldn't be awake yet. So I imagine. Saturday to Sunday, you must have been a late nighter. You woke up early.
I tweeted
early or
late on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Or early, depending on how you look at it. And so I was hoping when I sent you the Papacito's photo, you would be awake in that moment to say, go right, go left. You'll find this Whataburger.
I do recall waking up, seeing the text, thinking, what am I going to respond to this? Knock back out.
Yeah.
Woke classic, up in time for classic. Football.
Yeah.
Football Saturday. How was Royal Rumble?
Great. Fun times. Worked backstage.
Was everybody actually hearing you? On the mic or
no? Tim was talking about this. Yeah, no. When Tim texted me, he's like, "We can hear you." I was like sitting hard cam side in the normal seats where like when I yelled at Roman and Solo and stuff. But I wasn't yelling at that point, so no. Somebody else sounded like me.
For context, Nick and everyone listening, Mike and Joey came over. Kevin A. Sachs came over. Cool Greg watching. We're at my house watching the Rumble, and great time. Show starts maybe like 10 minutes in. Like you know, you hear the chanting and cheering and everyone's in. But there's just one voice louder than all the rest. Hard to hear what they're saying, but it's
see, sounded, that's how you know it wasn't me.
No, but it sounded exactly like you.
Greg. I know that, but you know you'd be able to pick out the words.
But you could almost pick out the words. And it's this giant arena, and so all of us are like, that's Greg. Is that Greg? That has to be Greg.
I saw Khalif.
I pull up on
that.
Twitter, people are like, was that Greg? And I'm like, holy shit, I texted Greg, he's like, it's not me. And I was like, I almost didn't believe you. Like, we literally thought it was you because who else would be such a fucking maniac that somehow, at a place where everyone is screaming, there's one voice screaming sentences louder than anyone else.
That's their problem, man. That's how how I stood out, how I became the screaming guy at SummerSlam, right? It's like people scream, they don't scream words, and they don't come from the diaphragm, right? And they're not here to just like
you know how to project,
yell at Solo, yell at Jay. I'm all about that life. I can do that in a way nobody else can. Mm. I'm very impressive.
Now, Tim, did you know that? I'm betraying some confidences here, but Kevin Ace X told me that Mike was hesitant to go to your place because he thought your TV was going to be too small.
Yeah. I can't.
If I can bring everybody up to speed, we have this gorgeous wall here, obviously, right? They watch Creator Clash on it too one small. Time. Tim, of course, has a home theater that he spent copious amounts of money on. His entire, like, yeah. You know, he won't let Gia buy a
My
Christmas
life dream.
Tree. She's let him achieve this life dream and put them into significant debt to have a gigantic TV, an 80-inch LED down there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. OLED. Mm-hmm. And then also have a projector screen, which is bigger than the TV, but quality. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, Kevin. 20 inches.
And it's got Atmos sound and all this different stuff and reclining chairs and amazing things and cool. And it's a scene down there.
There are subwoofers in the chair.
It's a scene down there.
Yeah.
And so in the build up to Rumble, Tim was like, everybody come over and watch Rumble. Mike was very much into it, but he kept trying to insert the idea of like, well, what if we did it here? What if we did it on the big screen? Jabronis, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Tim was like, no, we'll do it at my house. It's going to be great. But then Mike could really showed his hand because he started going around Tim to where he'd be like, to Cool Greg.
He tried recruiting Cool Greg.
He's like, Cool Greg, but like, wouldn't it be cooler to do it here? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then of course, Cool Greg, I love him. Cool Greg's the most innocent soul we got. You know what I mean? Jen always calls him a nuso. You know, a lot of us have been recycled souls. This kid's brand new or whatever. He has no way of delivering that information to Tim in any less way than just walking over and be like, yo, so Mike would like to do it here. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't finesse it at all. Like, I've been thinking or this, that, or that. No, he's just like, Mike would like it. And Tim's like, we've already had this conversation. So at some point after a show, Tim like grabbed Mike and walked him in. He was like, I hear what you're saying, but like this screen is not as good as you think it is.
That's the thing, man. Like, look, the sound in here, there's echoes, the screen, it's great. It's awesome.
It's big, but that's about it.
But here's my thing. Yeah. I was telling Mike, I was like, if this turns into a party and we can get 20 people to come hang out, let's do it here. But I'm like, we've been testing the waters. Nobody fucking has interest in this shit. Like, I have 6 seats in the theater. I can have 3 more that don't get all the fancy treatment. And we didn't even fill them all. It's just like, what are we talking about here? And so he was like, oh, yeah, it's too small. I'm like, Mike, it's an 83-inch screen. And we're not using that even. We're not even fucking using that. We're using the 136-inch projector.
The thing that kills me is that, you know, we all sort of have our things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You are known for 2 things, maybe 3. I'll say 3 things that you are 100% known for. Bomber Jack, the color blue, and really liking big TV screens.
Thank you!
And quality.
Those are like the 3 things that I put on your character sheet for like a D&D game, those would be your things.
Yes.
So the fact that Mike said that, there's got to be something else behind that. Did he just not want to come? Is that why?
Maybe it's a stranger's house. I don't know. Not a stranger, but you know what I mean. Like,
you know how Mike's
been to my house before.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, weird. I don't know, Nick. I'm with you, though. I feel like there's something deeper
there. There's something there.
So Kevin walks in. First thing he says, he looks at me. He goes, Mike said your TV was small. And I was like, I fucking know, dude. What the most offensive thing you could possibly say.
I mean, it's not like you're viewing this at Joey's house. I can hear her yelling at the other room.
Joey sets a Toshiba netbook at the other side of the hallway.
Why are you guys doing this? Stop attacking her.
Oh, shit. Oh,
God. Man. I'm sorry, Joe. I love you, Joe. But Super Bowl.
Hey. Big dude. One. Big one.
I love how this all came together. Love the memes. Love everything. My favorite, I just love how clever people can be. And I know, you know, the first person that says the joke, it's funny. The 10th person, it's less funny. I don't think I've ever seen something that made me go, God damn, that's clever, more than like the Kansas City Chiefs, 49ers, the 2 red things, and the tweet just being like, looks like it's red versus red Taylor's version. And I'm like, God damn, that's good.
That's good. Some good stuff. That's clever ass tweet.
Really, really good.
Yeah, you should be in media with fucking a mind like that. Yeah. I always think that too. I was like, I wish I could have thought of that. I don't know Taylor Swift that way. I just mean Super Bowl in terms of here.
Oh,
because this happened last year. I was giving Tim a lot of shit, and I was like, why didn't you have a Super Bowl party? Why didn't you invite us? Maybe I would have gone, right, with all the invites.
Mm.
And then somebody was like,
you would have woken up halfway through the Super Bowl. I'm like,
Somebody's like, why didn't you just watch it at the studio on the big wall? I was like, fuck, I'm. Yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, the thing is this, like, the studio, great, and I have no problem with
Nick,
that.
You're not invited.
And mine.
Right?
I mean, Nick's a Niners. No, but Nick's a Niners fan now.
Yeah, but, like, he kind of brings the mood down.
You feel the city, like, well, because Nick went to a bar the other day. He was like, oh, there's football on, goddammit. And then by the end of it, it was like, let's fucking go Niners, you know, like.
Happened again last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were last night after Punchline, we went to celebrate because my buddy hosted.
You're like, why is it so fucking crowded?
No, we were just at a sports bar, and I legitimately didn't know who had won the game. I saw who had won the Chiefs game because I saw the like people celebrating on that, and like Taylor Swift and Kelsey and all that stuff. But I was like, wait, did the Niners win? I'm pretty sure they won, but like, I don't know. And we were at a bar. They were showing the recap of the bounce.
Oh my god!
And I was like, I don't. What the fuck? That was insane, right? So I just had that moment of like fair weather fanness.
We're going to Starbucks today, and Nick's like, oh yeah, how was your weekend, man? Like, you watched the games? And I was like.
Did you?
I was like, yeah, the Rumble was fucking awesome. Like, he was talking about football. I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay.
Who the fuck are you?
Both games were back to back, and everyone was very excited about
it. I mean, one is like SF here, and the other one was Taylor Swift. Like, that thing took over the nation.
It's hard not to get caught up in that when your city's team is right. Like, going to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, if nothing else, you look, I was driving around the city at night last night, and I saw Salesforce Tower lit up with gold and red. And I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, come on, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
City Hall is still red and gold. Like, that's pretty cool.
You're like, wow, they're celebrating Portugal or some shit.
Like, I don't love sports, and I'm hypercritical of San Francisco for the most part, but, I mean, come on, bro. We're going to the Super Bowl. Let's go.
I mean, third time in, like, well, because they lost to the Chiefs right before the pandemic. January 2020.
So is this sort of like vengeance? Like, we're getting our revenge if we beat them?
Well, a lot of people aren't happy with this Super Bowl. One, because a lot of America is annoyed of Taylor Swift and them always cutting to the camera whenever, like, Travis Kelce catches a ball or whatever.
Okay, he plays real well. So
a lot of America is very annoyed with Taylor Swift, and a lot of America is very annoyed with the Chiefs' continued dominance. And on the other side of things, the Niners have been here a lot before. We don't want to see the Chiefs and the Niners again. And the Lions were a team that have not done anything in 60 years.
Yeah, and they shit the fucking bed. So that's
they
on
shit
them.
The bed
that's
so
on them.
Bad.
They were fucking in control of that game and let it get away.
They were dominating. At one point, Nick, one of the Lions guys waves goodbye to the crowd when it was like 20-7 in the second quarter. And then, like, they showed
Chiefs
him in the
came
fourth
out of
quarter.
The fucking locker room after halftime. Or like,
do you think he was like, I shouldn't have waved earlier?
Probably. Yeah. It was a bad loss. Like, they
look.
The Niners just stormed back. It was
I get it, but there's also part. There's part of me that like loves the sort of like Hollywood aspect of this.
Just,
like Taylor Swift there supporting her boyfriend, and she's a fucking megastar,
love is
and
real.
It's so romantic. And like in my brain, I'm like, how did they not? Like, in my brain, and it's not going to happen, obviously, because she's too big for this. But in my brain, Usher's like, please welcome to the stage, Taylor Swift. And she just comes out and does, like, one song for her man. Sings to her man. You know what I mean? That's
see,
so
I'll tell you what. You
want to
know what the real
come on,
Cinderella
come on.
Story here, of course, is. They win, of course, as they will. Because this is a storybook ending for this love relationship we're also locked into, let alone Taylor's year, which has been insane. You know what I mean?
So you're calling it that they beat the Niners?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is a Hollywood movie, and that's what I think. That's what I want. That's what I want. I hope at the end they're passing the Lombardi Trophy around. They're doing their whole thing, and he gets up there, and Kelce gets up to the mic, and he proposes to Taylor Swift.
I mean,
fucking hell,
that would be
insane.
There's no fucking way anyone would ever top that.
No.
I mean, even winning an Academy Award and then, like, proposing to, like, the woman that you want to marry who's, like, your co-star or whatever next to you. Maybe. But no. Winning the Super Bowl trophy. I mean, come on.
Because, I mean, this is
Taylor
like...
Taylor Swift?
Come on. It's the... Yeah, the fucking artist of now, whatever you want to say. I mean, I would say my generation, but no big deal. But you know what I mean? It's fucking Taylor Swift. The biggest...
Not your generation.
Fucking act in the world. The most... Fucking successful, whatever.
Coming off, I mean,
the
biggest
world.
Tour ever.
She wouldn't even be coming off.
Still doing it. She'd be fine.
She'd be doing it in Tokyo.
Did you see the breakdown? Did you see the TikTok breakdown of this?
No.
There was a great TikTok that I can share. I can share if you, I guess, over the from Jen to me, but I saw it even before then. But it's a guy explaining to his, I assume, girlfriend and friends, maybe just his like three or four female roommates. They're all Taylor Swift fans, and he's not that much, but he's like a data guy, I guess. And he set it all up of a PowerPoint where he walks them through the timetable of Taylor Swift performing in Tokyo, having to go right to the airport, fly, and she can make it. She can make it. But it's like this big reveal at the end. He goes through this like multi-point PowerPoint or multi-slide PowerPoint presentation to get to the fact that she can make the, she can do the Japan concert and she can come back and be part of the Super Bowl.
That's insane.
People in the chat are, they're like, dude, they've been together for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Longer than that.
It's been longer than
that,
right?
But I mean, yeah. So this is the happiest we've ever seen her. He seems super happy. They're in love. Let him be.
I mean, look, most relationships like this, let's be honest.
They both know what they want at this point.
They don't last that long anyway, you know? So let's just give us the storybook ending
that
we want.
Let us have it. Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, even Tom, like, we all thought that, oh, Tom Brady, Gisele Bündchen, they're going to last forever.
She was like, for 6 or 7 years, like, stop playing football, please. And he'd be like, all right, I will soon.
I will, but you know what?
He kept retiring, and then he kept coming back.
Well, he retired once, but, like, he kept on just coming back and coming back and coming back.
She was like, I'm done.
Dee Stephan's with me. Taylor's had enough high-profile boyfriends to know by now where it's going. She's a 35-year-old woman. And I can't tell if actually that's on my side or being against me, but, again, I'm saying she's a 35-year-old person. She knows what she wants in a long-term relationship and who she's seeing and whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
But also, let's be honest, when you're that rich, too.
Jump, being drunk as shit, jumping out of the thing, screaming. Love that.
Oh,
Kelsey,
yeah,
brother.
Dude. Oh, my God. Again, very limited understanding of all this stuff. But, yeah, the Kelsey family seems like people I like a lot.
Oh, they party. Those guys party.
Yeah. What was wild was that they were already on such a large rise before any of the Swift stuff happened. Like, their podcast was getting very, very popular.
There had been
already.
A documentary, too, already.
Yeah, that documentary, their new high
podcast.
The New Heights podcast between Travis and Jason Kelsey, because Jason Kelsey plays for the Eagles, and he is
really
one of the best players of all time.
This is going deeper than I even thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow. Jason Kelsey is a center for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is this the guy that was drinking behind it?
He's
for
the
real.
One that took his shirt off like Bert Kreischer.
So
like,
he plays for the Eagles?
He's for the Eagles.
Yeah. He's just behind him celebrating? Or I guess,
well, so check this out. Last year, Travis and Jason Kelsey play against each other in the Super Bowl.
That's him right there.
Those are those guys?
Yeah, those are those guys.
This is an amazing story, dude. Fuck yeah.
So, but their podcast was already like on such a massive rise in terms of popularity and just how good they are on the mic. I'd say Jason Kelsey is like the better podcaster. Right? He's like a lot funnier and he's got a bit more sense of humor. But like Travis is really good on the mic too. And they had that Super Bowl last year. It was like a big story. Mama Kelsey's there. Who's she rooting for? Blah, blah, blah. I just want them both to be happy. They end up, obviously, the Chiefs beat the Eagles last year. I was just a tie. the Chiefs beat the Eagles last year. And then this year, the Eagles were in the playoffs again. They lost in heartbreaking fashion. And so now he's there to support his brother. And he was on the field last night being like, fucking go get this.
Awesome.
It's so cool. It's cool. But his brother's like already gonna retire. He's like, that guy you just saw with his shirt off, I think he's 35 or 36. And he's like, it seemed like it was his last season.
People were saying he retired.
So, some word came out that he had said that. And then he was like, no, I didn't like fully confirm it or whatever. Okay. But a lot of people were like, oh, well, you're saving it for your podcast. That's what you're doing, you know. But he was like very emotional in his most recent podcast, you know, just talking about his career and all the, and he's one of the, probably one of the best centers of all time.
Well, how old is Travis?
34.
So he's still got some game left.
He's got a couple. He's still playing really well, down end of his career for sure.
What is his position?
Tight end. He blocks sometimes and he catches a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Basically, he's like
good post route.
Basically, he's the security blanket for Patrick Mahomes. When Patrick Mahomes looks out
can't
and nobody's
get,
open,
get deep.
Travis is fucking open. Let me hit that big, you know, 7 foot frame. Not really, but he's like 6'5",
he's a big
6'6".
Dude. He's tall.
Gigantic monster. Like, he's just throwing a football at a bear out there, pretty much. Like, that's very, very good at football. And he will be a Hall of Famer as well. And last night, this is getting real nerdy, but like, he already passed Jerry Rice for receiving yards.
Oh, really?
Which is insane. Or maybe playoff receptions. Either way, that's
something
like
that was a Rice record.
That's insane, because Jerry Rice played till he was like 60 years old or some shit. Or he was like 43, but it was ridiculous. So, very, very good football players. Cool to talk sports with you guys, man.
It's exciting. Well, I mean, this transcends because of these two guys, because of Taylor. It's just a cultural... It transcends just sports.
Yeah.
This is an incredible, like, you know, American royalty story at this point.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. I think it's great. I think it's fun. It definitely makes me...
halftime show on Usher.
I mean, I know, it sucks. But, I mean, to me, honestly, and there's the brother connection, right?
Yeah.
There's the taller brother, and then there's the one that's more fun to listen to brother.
Yeah.
That's, like, younger or maybe older. I can't remember, but in this case, younger.
So it's really cool. I know. That was a weird one, though.
Yeah.
Why Usher? I wonder. Safe? Is he safe? Is that why?
I thought it was...
I don't know if he's safe, but...
I was so disappointed by the Usher announcement when that happened.
Like, he has some bangers. If he doesn't come out in Heelys, I'm going to be like, this was an absolute...
A lot of people have bangers, but you got to... You got to pair Usher up with other people of that era as well. You can't just have just Usher. He's not like that guy, you know?
It's one of those things where you're like, you look at the past halftime shows and you want the person that's doing it to be like the person.
I want to see Shakira just stick her tongue out and shake that thing with no regard.
And I always want to see that. Ed.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
J-Lo, man.
But like, that's the thing. I just haven't thought about Usher in a while. Granted, I don't know music as well as you guys do, but
no, I'm with you.
Usher's like a classic at this point, but he has a safe bet. Whereas I would say, like, if you could have gotten Taylor, that would have been fucking amazing.
He has, like, a deep, like, fucking history of a lot of awesome singles. There's no denying that. This guy's, he has the discography for that.
He's got it bad.
But, like, I just don't.
Happy Easter, Xbox.
It's just kind of odd coming out with that now, as if, like, he had a big resurgence recently.
Well, he has a new album coming out that he's dropping that day.
That makes sense.
This is all built into
marketing.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing.
That makes sense, though. That's that. Yeah.
Here's my thing. I feel like it'd be similar to have. Now, stick with me here. To put Ludacris in this same sort of position. A guy who had a lot of hits in the past. He's coming out with a new album. It's like, yeah, but we're not going to really listen to that new album, are we? Like,
it's got to be a joke.
Is anybody
right?
really looking forward to this new Usher album? Like,
Felipe Torres in the chat.
This isn't like
Luda's different, though.
No, but this isn't like a return of Jay-Z going back to rap to come out. Yeah. You know, this isn't something like that. It's like a new Usher record. I don't know if that's going to.
But here's the thing. And like, I'm not an Usher guy. Like, I actually am on the other side of it. But Usher.
Oh, you're anti Usher?
I'm anti Usher. Really? I got some real world beef with him. Some shit with him and one of my friends from back in the day. Didn't treat her nicely, and I don't like this guy.
Oh, wow.
But music-wise, you know, I can't deny what he's brought to the table.
I'm gonna make love in this
But that's club. The thing. That, like, that moment, like, there's an era that we don't really credit him with.
Oh, for
but,
sure.
Like, because we think about the 2003, 2004 era of Usher, and even a little before that, where he absolutely crushed it, right?
Yeah.
But then I feel like he, every 4 years or so, he's kind of like Britney, where... It's a slow burn. Gotta let it burn. Yeah. Where you just keep coming back with these hits that are massive.
Yeah.
That, like, right. You just don't really think about. But it's like when you look back at it, you're like,
they're
actually.
Club bangers, right?
Usher's been club banging for decades.
Yeah.
Usher is like the, and when I think of like the quintessential dance club from like 2000 to like 2010, I feel like that's all, those songs are so iconic.
I mean, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, there's no disrespect to Usher. I'm not saying that. I'm just thinking, I just don't think of Usher, right? I don't think of him as being like an it guy.
Yeah, that name being announced doesn't make me go, oh shit, that's gonna be awesome.
Gotta watch
like,
that.
When they were like, The Weeknd's gonna do it, I was like, okay, I see that. The Weeknd's having a moment right now. Like, The Weeknd is the guy everyone's talking about. And then he did that weird ass halftime show.
I loved it.
It's like, it's so weird.
Yeah, like the.
it was great.
So fucking strange.
All the old school like rappers coming back, like that was cool because that's like, it's not just. 50 Cent is headlining.
No.
It's 50 Cent.
Fucking upside down. That's what you need.
Sweetie's like, is that Spider-Man?
Someone in the chat was asking if Justin Timberlake's ever done the halftime show. Yeah, Justin Timberlake did the most notorious halftime show ever, remember?
With Nipplegate.
Yeah, with Nipplegate.
Oh, that's
with Janet.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Right.
I watched that. I was live. I was at my sister-in-law's parents'
house. It was exciting. It was the best part of the Super Bowl.
Wait, Justin Timberlake did a Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Oh,
yeah, I think he's done it a few times.
Really bad. Back when Man in the Woods came out or whatever the fuck that album was called.
Was it as bad
Janet Jackson still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from her in a long time.
She didn't call you in a bit?
No.
Maybe catch up with her.
Maybe she could tell us if there's newsstands in New York.
Be amazing.
Was it as bad as, wasn't Black Eyed Peas thought to be as like the worst?
I don't remember seeing that one. I'd be interested to watch it.
Well, who was last year? Rihanna? Was she last year?
Yes.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that one was very good.
That had people like, that was the one where they were like doing the swings and stuff. Yeah.
Lady Gaga was the year before that. When did Lady Gaga like come down from space?
Lady Gaga's was the best.
Dude,
let's call it.
That fucking jump, man.
That was insane.
Amazing.
Remember she came down from the top?
Yeah, dude.
And then she was just there.
God, that was good.
And they did a documentary leading up to that. And you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, she jumps at the very end, right?
Yeah, it was super cool. Good for her. That's what I want in the halftime show. I want that level of hype, like Gaga, like, cresting, becoming Gaga, becoming like the top of her game. No one's ever going to be, you know, she's the biggest she's ever going to get, and then she does that, and it's like, actually, I don't know about that. I don't think that was it.
I read.
I remember her being in pads.
I read a.
I think that there was multiple costumes.
Oh, maybe, right? Yeah.
I read a tweet to Nick. I don't even know if it's true, but I'm just gonna state it as fact that, like, I don't know, 30 years ago or something like that, there was no halftime show. And when they would go to,
they like marching bands or some shit.
Something like basic. It wasn't like a spectacle, right? And In Living Color decided to put on a halftime show.
Oh.
In Living Color put on like our Super Bowl halftime thing or whatever. I don't know if they had performances or comedy or probably a mix of both.
It's just but that Bill
they had
30 minutes.
Million viewers that everybody left watching the Super Bowl from CBS and they went to Fox. And the next year CBS was like, hey, no more of that. Get Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And that started like what became the big year, halftime.
You remember Halftime Heat? The Rock vs. Mankind, empty stadium for the
Holy
title.
Holy shit!
That was the shit.
Oh
WWE
my god!
WWE used to do Halftime Heat. You remember this?
No.
Oh yeah, this is when you weren't watching, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what was this?
They used to do that, like when Super Bowl halftime would hit, there would be a match you'd go watch on USA Today or USA Network, and they started it with Rock versus Mankind when they were going back and forth for the title
in an empty stadium.
Yeah, the whole thing was they did. Yeah. Well, it was pre-recorded, so they just did it like on whatever night they were going to do Raw or whatever the hell they were going to do before or after. So they just brawled through an empty stadium.
Interesting.
Pretty sick match because it falls kind of anywhere. Except for the very end, Mankind pinned him with a forklift. And so all of a sudden, you just cut to like basically what today it would be a GoPro on a forklift coming. I'm like, how do we get this camera angle? Like, wait, why are we in this first person shot of a forklift for pinning the Rock? But he won. It was great.
I want to go to the Super Bowl one day as a player.
Hell yeah.
As a player.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I still got it in me.
You think you got a couple years left of eligibility?
Look, kicker, you're so right bringing up kicking because
you can kick old.
Anybody could fucking kick.
Like, anyone can kick.
Anybody can kick, right?
Anyone can kick.
And that's such an easy thing. That's why I keep telling my nephew and my nieces, like, hey, keep playing tennis. Keep playing golf. Because you're not going to make it in NFL or the NBA.
Sure.
You're never going to be tall enough or strong enough or fast enough. Get into a sport that doesn't require all that. Kicking is one of them, all right? You got Mexican blood in you. You're good at soccer automatically.
Yep. Sure,
except me. I was not very good at soccer when, you know, we'd get in the schoolyard. Be like, let's throw the football, the baseball around. But kicking. Get your kids kicking in college. They could play for fucking 20 years, making $1 million a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you risk. Like, the kicker is always the most polarizing position.
Scapegoat.
Because they're always the scapegoat. Oh, he missed the last kick.
When you're a kicker, like, oh, you pay to make kicks. How are
and
you
then you
don't
make that kick.
And
well,
then you go home and you cry into your money. You know, like.
Yeah. I'll kick.
And when I say $1 million a year, that's definitely underselling. I'm, yeah, you know, yeah. These
what's
kickers.
What's the lowest you do the kicking position for?
800K.
800K is the lowest.
750.
Well, I think, right now it said $500,000.
No, actually, I think the veteran's minimum is 500K a year, or is it maybe 800K?
I thought league minimum was 350 or something like that. Is it league for NFL like 3 to 4 or something like that?
No, I think it's 500K.
Is it 500K? That sounds. I mean, look, that's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
To just occasionally have to go kick a football under
the minimum
a tremendous
salary
amount
rose
of pressure.
To $705,000 in 2022.
Holy fucking shit!
This year, the minimum salary for NFL players is $750,000. The amount applies exclusively to NFL rookies during their debut season. As they advance, the minimum rises to $870,000 and $940,000. I said that right. $940,000.
Wow. Now, the real question is, if you're a kicker on one of these professional football teams, what's your license plate say?
Kicks dicks.
But with X's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kick what?
Kicks dicks.
Oh.
That way, like, if somebody talks shit, hey, Miller, you can't kick. I'm like, point thing, you want to go?
I thought
take
Nick
my
was asking.
My socks and I run up and I kick him in the dick.
I thought Nick was asking this because it was a natural lead into, like, a car reference
do they have cars with custom license plates?
Well, here's where my brain went on that, right?
Okay, please, yeah.
You're a professional athlete.
Yeah.
So you got a cool car, probably.
Yeah.
Right? You're making $705,000 a year minimum. You're driving a Porsche, minimum, right?
Right.
You drive up, and everyone else has cool cars, too. You want to distinguish your car somehow. You got a little ego on you because you have to believe in yourself when you go up to make that kick at the end of the year for the Super Bowl or whatever. You got to have a cool license plate that kind of makes everyone giggle a little bit. So this guy's got a good sense of humor. He's keeping it light around the locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dick kicker. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Dick kicks. Kicking it.
Kick it.
Basic.
Well, there was the Los Angeles Chargers kicker put together. The Chargers social media team is always the best. They're always the ones like their stuff goes viral beyond football where when they announce what their NFL schedule is.
Oh, they always do fun stuff.
They always do like. They'll recreate Pokemon with motion graphics, or they'll do like an anime intro, and they'll like recreate the Dragon Ball Z intro, but it's all their players or whatever.
I fucking love these things.
And they're always insane. Well, they did a campaign. The Chargers were terrible this year, but they ran a campaign for their kicker, who was very, very good. His name is Cameron Dicker. Dicker the kicker.
Dick kick.
And they ran a campaign where he was like kind of a Better Call Saul type lawyer. He's like, do you need a good kick at the end of the year? Call me. Like, vote for me. Like, he was like a very, they did a very silly like ad campaign or whatever. And he's Dicker the kicker. And I think Dicker like, the there kicker. It is. There's like Digger the Gigger, vote rocks. Now.
So it's just this guy is the guy.
They
man.
Do a great job. They're so good. And he was very, very good. I think he was like 28 of 30 on the year or something like that. It's just insane.
He looks perfect.
Yeah, if I had to cast a kicker, this would be
named
the guy.
Dicker? Yeah. Dicker. It's this guy.
Oh, they put no, that's the quarterback, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's not the quarterback. Edited. But they put together all that to make it seem like he was complimenting the kicker. That's pretty damn
That's
good.
That's pretty amazing. That's
good dope. For him.
So anyway, yeah, Dicker the kicker is already like a pretty good one for... That's a good dick and kick joke already.
Perfect.
You're right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table. Each come to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show called Gregway, which, by the way, I haven't recorded yet today because it's been a day. You can get the Kind of Funny podcast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamoth. Because they support us on Patreon, and they could do it on YouTube as well, they don't have to hear this ad. Kind of Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kind of Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kind of Funny podcast, In Review, the Kind of Funny Gamescast, P.S. I Love You, XOXO, the Kind of Funny Xcast, the brand new series Kind of Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kind of Funny Games Daily, and five exclusive Gregway vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's going to be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kind of Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Gregway. You can get your Kind of Funny membership on patreon.com/kindoffunny or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kind of Funny membership offering to YouTube so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kind of Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kind of Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kind of Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kind of Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Nick?
Yes, Greg.
Zade Wilson writes into kindoffunny.com/KF podcast, just like you can, and says,
hey, Zade.
Would you rather be immortal, parentheses, you can live forever, but can be physically killed, or invulnerable, parentheses, can't be killed, but can still die from old age?
What?
Invulnerable. Easy. I don't want to live forever. I don't want to have somebody to need problem. To kill me in order to end my life. And invulnerable just means that, like, I don't got to worry about dying in a plane crash or a car wreck. I'll just die of old age. Perfect. Or I'll die when I'm 52, something like that.
Yeah.
But invulnerable.
But if, okay.
Wait, why are you dying of 52 old age? Of old age?
Oh, no, no, that wouldn't be of old age. It'd just be like heart issues or something.
Because Andy has a lot
cranking
of
cranking it. My heartbeat goes too fast.
And so you're saying, okay. Mm. Okay.
Well, if you're immortal.
Old age, I feel like, if I died at 52, and I had taken this invulnerability clause from the devil and or God,
mm-hmm.
and I get to hell and or heaven, and they're like, hey, welcome. I'm like, what the fuck? 52 is not old age. You can't, that doesn't count.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You okay, follow
well,
me on
maybe that wouldn't be it.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Immortal. I don't want to live forever. I don't want to be able to see everybody that I love and know die around me several times. That's too much for me to go through. Plus, this planet's not going to last very long, let's be honest. I don't want to have to witness that either.
You don't want
to
see the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And the only way to end your life, I'd have to be like, I need you to stab me in the heart. And you're going to have to experience like a murder, yourself being murdered.
You'd be ready by then. You're thinking right now with what, 43 years behind you? Think about if you were like 430 years. You'd be ready to die.
You're on your fifth wife.
Sure.
You're like, honey, it's the year 4,000 something.
In the year 4,000 something.
I've only had five wives. It's the year 2020 to 4,000.
Well, I do one every 1,000 years.
Yeah. I get into my car and I say, honey, one day, you know, don't hesitate to just put a little rag in that muffler. I'll start the car.
Sure.
Listen to some music. Pass out. Die.
So you want her to be complicit in your death?
Well, that's probably the most peaceful way to go as opposed to fucking like, I need you to stab me in the heart. Yeah, cut my head off.
Fair.
That's tough. One of those, honestly, for this question, I'd be like, this is some kind of trick. This is some kind of genie's going to fuck me over.
What do you think the monkey's paw is?
Well, I mean, invulnerable? I'm Metallo from Superman the Animated Series, where he has that great moment where he realizes he can't feel. They're like, well, yeah, but you can't be hurt. And he's like, but I can't feel anything. He's like, you're a fucking robot.
I think Zayd would have written that in.
immortal, you can live forever, but I don't know if Zayd's the fucking devil. You can live forever, but you live forever, but can be physically killed, which sounds weird to me still. But like, okay, but you just said
just don't die of natural causes, basically. You're just going to live forever unless it
so you have to be stabbed or murdered.
You have to be murdered.
Something has to enter into your environment that
well, Andy just said you wouldn't die in a plane crash with immortality.
You would.
No, invulnerability, you would not.
My apologies, you're right.
Immortality just means you would live forever until something happens.
That's my thing, is like, when you start dialing back.
Who wants to live forever?
You start dialing back invulnerability, though, right? Say you do die in a plane, or you do get in a plane crash, you're invulnerable. You see everyone around you die.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm good. Like, that's horrifying.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
But if you're... We've done a topic very similar to this a long time ago, which I think it was like... With three wishes or something like that, you know.
Yeah,
don't fuck me, right?
Yeah, rule number two is don't fuck with
and
me.
And mine was always like, I don't want the invulnerability unless my wife can do it too. Whatever I'm gonna do, she's gonna have it.
You
too.
Can curl around her.
Yeah, but, then I look over, it's just a,
ooh,
it's like a watermelon that Kevin crushed on the.
Oh yeah, it would be like it would be the show Invincible where he grabs that old lady and like tries to save her, and in his arms she's all mangled up because she didn't survive her him holding her or whatever. Yeah.
I would, that's a tough one. I'd probably pick invulnerability. I don't want to live forever. I don't want to live past like.
I would just, I'm good both ways.
Here's a cool thing.
You'll figure it
like,
out.
Like invulnerability, like I just don't worry about like piano falling on me, the plane crashing.
Yeah, but let me put you this way, right? You're at the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I was just there.
One of the wrestlers is like, I pulled a hamstring. And you go, I'll step in. Why? Because you don't give a shit. And they go, Greg, we're gonna do a ladder match that's 15 stories high. And you go, I'll fucking jump off that thing right now with my.
See, what I've
like, can't die of a hamstring.
You'd be
what
a
I've
superstar.
Always, what I've always gone for, right, is especially during the Attitude Era when, like, you know, Mick Foley's getting beat to shit, right,
ripping his ear.
The
off
idea
the
was
shit.
Like, oh man, it'd be kind of cool to have Wolverine's, you know, healing power.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what you.
But then the thing is, you feel all the pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're not gonna hurt yourself, right? You're not gonna die.
But I'm still fucking feeling my skull crack open and then come back together.
Well, I don't think you're like Superman. You're just falling. You're like, oh, that hurt a little bit, but you get back up.
No, I don't know if anything's really like your skull.
Can
isn't
I feel
breaking.
Anything? Can I feel pleasure? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because this is the Metallo thing again. So I'm just saying, somebody shows up with this deal. I'm like, not trusting you. You look like Jesus, but you're not Jesus. He wouldn't do this.
No,
to me. I'm going over here.
Okay, I see what you're
go
saying.
Go talk to Nick.
I see what your worries are.
He take mine and give it to his wife.
Here's the real question, Andy. You want to live forever? Would you live forever? And the only thing that could kill you is if, like, you get in a car accident or something. Like, very specific. Like, you have to get into a car accident between the hours of, like, 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. on the West Coast during daylight savings time.
Okay.
Or,
and
then you're going to live forever.
I don't know.
Or, you could be 6'1".
Oh, man.
Man, maybe. And who knows?
I'll take 6'1", but put me back at, like, 18 years old, 19 years old.
You don't want it from here on? It's got to be from here on.
Oh, man, that's rough.
But you got the rest of your 30s tall?
Yeah, but like my prime's over. I would like the height of my athleticism would have been back then. Mm. Think about how fast I'm already. I beat Greg's ass in a race. So,
yeah, but you're slower though because you're bigger.
Think about my 3-point shooting though. My strides are long though.
Yeah.
I'm incredible at shooting 3-pointers. No, make me 6'10" and we'll talk.
Oh, 6'10"?
Yeah, 6'10".
Mm, okay.
Shooting 3-pointers.
Think about it.
But here's the thing. With the invulnerability thing, when you're like, yeah, but if you die in a car wreck, or if you don't die in a plane crash, but you see everybody else die around you, how traumatizing is that? Here's the thing.
I'd be okay.
I would tell people.
No, you would, Greg. We all know you would.
I walk up to a science lab. See a bunch of scientists working in there. I grab a gun, shoot myself in the head. Nothing happens. And I go, I'm invulnerable. Take my blood, do whatever you need, but pay me a lot. I'm going to be your study thing. You're going to be using my, I'll come in for whatever y'all need to do to figure out how the key to making everybody else invulnerable. I become a massive millionaire. I don't got to fly with anybody. I have a private jet. Fly by myself.
See, you believe in the good of people though. Cause I've thought about this too. Oh, if I had the Wolverine healing power, but not the animatium, right? Or not even the claws for that matter. You say that to somebody and you expect, no, they fucking throw
like,
you in
you
a lab.
Deal with the devil. Not going to go.
They throw you in a lab. They lock you up. If that, the other thing too, what if in your immortality business, they discover this, they get scared of you, they lock you up. What if you get charged with a crime by somebody fucking with you? He gets life. Fucking 400 years in jail trying to break out. You know what I mean?
I have two swords on me at all times.
I dare you to try to come get me. I start thinking about immortality, right? You start thinking, okay, you could potentially amass enough wealth so that after 200 or 300 years, you're basically just ruling the world, right?
Well, yeah.
But then I think about how stupid I am, and I would just lose money. I'd be like, I'm so broke. I'd be broke for 300 years.
You look back at all the things you should have done, all
like,
the stocks you should have bought.
Like you can see the future, you know, invest in Apple in the fucking 80s, and it's not going
to
happen.
Back to this whole thing of like, you know, me watching everybody be dead around me or whatever. Yeah, it would just be like, am I getting cold walking away? Am I hungry? You know what I mean?
We're just going to say this. You can feel stuff.
Yes.
Okay? You're going to be fine.
Don't worry. I just watched that movie,
Society of the Snow.
You can crank your putt at night.
Okay. You familiar with this one?
No.
You should be. It's got a lot. I got Oscar nominations.
Society of the Snow.
It's the same story as Alive from back in the day.
Oh, I say. I've seen
that. Oh,
I've seen
right.
The rugby crash in the mountains or whatever. Sure. Jen and I watched this movie, right? And I don't think I ever watched Alive as a kid, which would make sense because I was a kid or whatever. We're watching this movie, though. And when they're finally like, yo, we got to start eating people.
Yeah, terrified.
Like, half the people in the plane are like, no, I won't do it. I'm like, just give me the fucking hand. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about here?
Give me a cut off your back.
And then there's this whole conversation of his desecration of a corpse. And they start, the people who are dying, not eating, are like, all right, you can take my body. It's like, I wouldn't, what? No. You don't need this permission, folks.
Alive?
It's going to be against God. We're going to go to hell. I realize it's the 70s. They didn't have internet. They didn't realize how the world works.
They thought the world was flat still.
But like, what a bunch of dumbasses. Just eat the fucking people.
Alive was me, Kevin, and Cool Greg's Quicksand, where Kevin's mom showed us that movie when we were way too young.
Yeah,
and
same here.
We were convinced that at some point we were either going to have to eat each other or someone was going to have to eat us.
Yeah.
Still not sure it's not going to happen.
So your Quicksand.
You never know.
So that was your Quicksand, which was like my Fire in the Sky.
Mm.
Very similar. Like,
well, Fire in the Sky is everyone's fire.
Aliens are going to come get me.
That movie was terrifying.
Yes, you can feel stuff, Greg. You're fine.
Here's what I'll say. You can feel...
If I blew in the back of your neck,
you'd need to shit yourself.
But even then, it's like, okay, cool. And this is the invulnerability then, right? Where's where we're at?
Yeah, you're invulnerable in that...
I still get worried. Like, Alex Mack was always on the run from people. Like, you guys are just... You know what I mean? Like, people are always going to chase you for this shit. Is it worth it? You know?
I mean,
dropping Alex back.
Think about how much Superman and like
but
and the Hulk have to hide.
The thing
shit.
Is this, right? The thing is this: like nobody's ever gonna know you're invulnerable. You could just be.
You say that, but then look at Smallville season 1 through 10, where Clark kept getting caught. Remember when he punched through the fucking elevator and stopped it?
Well,
and then the girl turned out she had powers too, and they left.
Go ride elevators.
She teleported into his room, but then they got caught by his parents and died. Ha!
Are they fucking on the ceiling?
Oh, no. Just don't.
No, but if you do remember, when Lana got powers for a hot second, they did fuck hard enough that the seismic thing went off.
Lana
they
Rhodes,
there was
I did
an earthquake.
See that one. I watched that.
Lana Rhodes, no. Mm. Lana Lang in Smallville with Superman.
Mm. Monsters. I just feel like you could be, like, with your mentality and your... Already, like you already in many instances live your life like you are invulnerable.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if you had invulnerability, you'd be an even bigger superstar than you are right now.
I appreciate
bigger
it.
And you would just never tell anyone.
The planet.
People are like, how's this guy never get hurt? And I would, you'd be like, talk to my lawyer, and I would be next to you, and I'd be like, we have him on a lot of fucking hormones and like TRT. He's on a ton of steroids. I would just tell people that, and they'd be like,
believable. Sure. It's believable, right? Sure. Meanwhile, I'm jacked out of my gourd because I'm taking some of your money. And I'm doing
stuff. You're actually on this stuff, right?
I'm on Roy, so I got to get big, too.
You got right? to match. Right. You got to help me.
And then Tim's in our sphere, and we're just poking him. He's walking by, we're hitting him with a couple needles.
Wait, is Greg also jacked?
Well, he's invulnerable.
What does that mean?
One does not equal the other.
Like, again, what would you he's think still of? Afraid of pain. He made that very clear.
Well,
he's
they told me I don't have to worry about it.
If I'm not going to the, I'm not going to the gym because I'm scared of dying there. like I'd be in the gym if I wasn't invulnerable. You know, like just because you're invulnerable doesn't mean you're muscular and in shape and you want.
But the thing is, they're always making new machines. You know what I mean? And so somebody, people are worried about getting a kink in their neck or whatever. For me, I could just say, give me a workout machine I can do while I sleep. You know what I mean?
But I don't think you need to
give me some horse tranquilizer. Work me out when I'm asleep.
I just feel like for you, the branding we have is like a football player in the 70s. Right, where you look at like athletes in the 60s, 70s, and they're just big.
Yeah.
They're not like jacked out of their gourd. You're not seeing definition. Sure. You're seeing a big hulking man.
Sure.
We're just going to
William the Refrigerator Perry. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't call him William the Oven.
Toaster Perry. Oven.
I don't know.
I don't think about how large and what a great physical specimen I am often. You know what I mean? But you always think about it, how big I am and how small you are.
Well, I think about it because we have a tremendous opportunity with Ben.
Sure.
Right. That obviously was squandered on all of us, in that we can push him toward utilizing that 6'2",
he's
6'3"
already. He's getting
frame to just be like fit.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. But again, being
obviously, I'm being facetious.
Physical,
he can do whatever he wants.
Physical. No, we'll make him do it. We'll get him a workout machine. Right now, that's the thing. Put in his crib. You know what exactly. I mean? Remember that one Jax kid who showed up on Maury and the Jerry Springer show all the time? Little Hercules? Little Hercules.
Well,
Kevin, get me an update on Little Hercules.
I only get reminded of him because I always just see, what's Little Hercules up to now?
Oh,
I always get those things like fed to me and like.
I'm random. Happy I do not know who Little Hercules is.
Oh, he was like a little 8-year-old and he had abs and like
he was text.
He looked like remember like Fran. In Georgia the Jungle.
He looked exactly like
he
Fran.
Did look like Fran.
Same height,
really
everything.
Good actually. That's
he
actually
was very tan. He was very tan little kid.
Yeah, they put the bronzer on him for sure.
And he, I think
that
he
wasn't
was
natural.
I think he was pound for pound like the strongest specimen in the world because of how much he weighed.
Per
he was
capita.
Able to lift a whole lot like.
There's Little Hercules.
I've seen this kid. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
What's the update on Little Hercules? Oh, good. Yeah. He
didn't
became
keep it
normal.
Up.
Like
he 20
years
normal.
Old. 20, 30 years old.
God
now.
Bless him.
I said
looks fine now.
See, that looks, he didn't keep it up, like, for how scary he looked before, but, like, that is a deep valley he has
that'll,
going down.
That'll stick with you.
You
know
what
I mean?
Perfect. You know, that's how it is.
That'll be one of those that even if you gain mass, you'll still have that little, like, you'll look like a Goron, you know?
It's one of those things where I think about this a lot, right?
I'm built
like a Goron. I've never looked like that in my life. And it's kind of a blessing because I never look back on pictures of me and go, man, I lost it.
Sure.
Never had it.
Sure. Exactly.
I never had it. What did I lose? You can't know. You can't know something if you never had it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Great.
One of the things I've been driving at here, but keep getting slapped away from, right, was when I was backstage at the Rumble, I was doing some interviews with the superstars, whatever. And I won't name names here, but I hope it makes the final cut of what they're filming or whatever, or what they're editing together. But I was talking to one of the bigger lads back there. You know what I mean? And we were going back and forth with the microphone, and this is on camera in the thing or whatever. And he's just like, you're a big dude. I'm like, yeah. I think you're bigger than most of our roster. I'm like, yeah. You think you could beat them up? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you think you can beat me up? And that's when I back down. That's when I back down because this man could beat me up.
There's one dude in WWE right now named Omos. That
Omos,
is
yeah.
Omos. How tall is he? Can we get a check on this OMOS?
7'2".
Like, I think it's 7'4", maybe. Like
that's a big dude.
It's insane. Because a lot of these guys are huge.
7'3".
Yeah.
Like, wow. And seeing him enter the Rumble next to all these tall guys, and they look like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it is terrifying to just imagine that somebody could be that large.
Level 3 boss.
Langley. I'm trying really quickly to find it in last year's rating reveal thing I did with Up, Up, Down, Down. But I interviewed him, and like... You all know how big I am. Let me see if I can find.
Langley in the chat, I think it's the YouTube chat, says, I'm 6'7 and just learned that I'm the fattest I've ever been at 256 pounds. Yeah, but if you're 6'7, 256, you're fine, bro. Like,
dude.
What's your weight should be what? 220, 230 at 6'7? You're fine, bro. Don't worry about it.
Matt Batson says, and 400 pounds, but I don't believe them. I don't believe them either. They announced him yesterday, and it was like, yeah, he's 6-whatever, or 7-whatever, and he's 400 pounds. And I was like, yep. There's no fucking way that's true. And I thought about it. I'm like,
could be.
with how much more I weigh than Gia, she's a foot smaller than me.
Yep.
I understand I don't got the muscle, but he has muscle there. I'm like, maybe it starts adding up that way.
I mean, how tall is he?
6'3"
7'3" How tall was Shaq?
Shaq is 7'2" 7'1"
Can you look up Shaq's weight?
Because Yao Ming was 7'4".
Let's just look up Shaq's weight, like, playing and when he was...
Oh, he was, like, 350.
Yeah, he was a big... I mean, that's... Like, you think every six or so inches you're putting on, you could put on anywhere between 30 and 50 pounds and still be, quote, healthy, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's guys in my gym that I work out with that are... They're, like, 6'2", 6'3", and they're 230, easy. Like 6'1", 230, and they look fine. But they're fucking big. Like,
can we,
big.
Kevin? I sent a screenshot to assets here from last year's WWE 2K23 roster reveal ratings.
Oh, my goodness.
Up, up, down, down. Remember, I'm 6'3".
Here's the thing, though. The height's one thing. The sheer size, like
yeah.
knowing how big Greg is, and seeing like you look like you. You look like Nick next to you.
That looks like a torso. Yeah.
None taken.
God, that'd be hilarious if we could all be together. And it was like nesting dolls, or I'm like this, and then Nick's next to me.
I mean, I would do it just for the sheer hilarity of it.
That's
he's
great.
A big dude. He's also, I mean, he's like really muscular.
He's super nice.
He's fucking jacked.
Yeah.
He's probably got 60 to 70 pounds of just sheer muscle on him.
It sucks because he's one of those guys that, like, because he's big, like, they kind of just treat him as like this big brooding monster guy that, like, doesn't talk at all. I was watching him on some late night show, whatever, and he was hilarious, like, so personable, like, so funny. I'm like, let him go.
You got to be the big brute. Yeah, they're totally pigeonholing him in that.
He needs a good manager.
He does need a good manager, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm
going to go send some emails, but now let me thank you for watching the Kinda Funny Podcast. Remember, each and every week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table. Each coming to talk to each other about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you want to talk to us, kindoffunny.com/KF podcast to give us your topics and suggestions for free. Of course, though, if you want to support us, the Kinda Funny membership's the way to do it. Over on Patreon and YouTube, you can get each and every episode of the Kinda Funny podcast ad-free. You can watch them live as we record them. And of course, you can get my daily exclusive show, Greg Way. You'd also get the benefits I just mentioned for the podcast for the other podcasts, and it'd all be great. However, if you have no bucks toss our way, no big deal. We give you one each and every week. YouTube.com/KindaFunny and podcast services around the globe. Until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.